voice.
It's given us much to think about and to pray about. Let's seek our God in prayer. Let us pray. Of this chapter, Zechariah and chapter 10. Let us hear God's word, Zechariah chapter 10. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. For the idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies. They tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore the people wend their way like sheep. They are in trouble because there is no shepherd. My anger is kindled against the shepherds. I will punish the goatherds. For the Lord of hosts will visit his flock, the house of Judah, and will make them as his royal horse in the battle. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. They shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. He shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Syria shall be brought down, and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. Oh, we do thank God for his word and that amazing promise there in verse 12. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. Please turn with me in your Bibles back to Zechariah chapter 10. And our focus really would be upon this promise in verse 12. So I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. I wonder how the players at the FA Cup final felt last week as they walked out on the pitch. Some perhaps would have been very nervous, thinking about the thousands that are there in the stadium watching, and the millions throughout the world that are watching their every kick and their every step. Others might have been bold and brazen, self-confident, thinking, yeah, I'm going to win the FA Cup single-handed. I'm going to score the first goal. Others might have felt their own weakness. Why didn't I train more? Why didn't I listen to the manager more? And all sorts of feelings would have come out. If I was one of those players, I know what I would have felt like. I would have felt incredibly weak and insignificant, wondering how I could help the team to win the cup. But in many areas of life, we rightly feel weak and feel in need of strength. A preacher, as he gets up into the pulpit, realizes his own weakness. Parents who are bringing up children in this hostile world feel their own weakness to guide and to help their children, particularly in the things of God, and to remain firm in the faith. As we look at the mission that is set before us and all that is to be done, and speaking to unbelievers and bearing testimony to Christ and doing all the different things that we've got to do, we feel weak, don't we? And we wonder how we can have the strength and the courage to perform all that is before us. We often feel our weakness as we face maybe persecutions in the workplace or temptations through life. We need strength. And for some, perhaps even mere daily survival is an area where abundant strength is needed. Do you need strength this morning? Are you feeling your own weakness? Maybe not those areas that have been mentioned, but in other areas of your life, you feel how pitifully small you are and unable to fulfill certain things. Well, I'm 99.9% sure that this will cover all of us, if not most of us here this morning, that there is one area, at least in our lives, where we feel weakness. If this is the case for you, then verse 12 is for you and for me this morning. God's timely encouragement for us. For he says in verse 12, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. Here is a promise which tells you where you can find strength in your weakness. So I want us simply to unpack this verse in the context of the passage, that we might know strength in the coming days, in our lives and our situation as a church. And there's three things I want us to look at this morning from this verse. I want us, first of all, to look at the source of strength. The source of our strength. Where can we obtain the strength that we need from? We know that if we want strong plants, we go to the garden centre and we buy the fertiliser or the particular compost and the food or whatever. That will bring strong plants. But where is the source of strength that we human beings need and we Christians need to live out our lives for the Lord? Well, quite simply, the source of our strength is in the Lord himself. It is he who provides strength for us. We see that twice in our passage. Firstly, in verse 6, I will strengthen the house of Judah and save the house of Joseph. Strength promised to his people. And again in our text, verse 12, so I will strengthen them in the Lord, says the Lord. God says he will strengthen you. And as we look in this passage, we see from verses 3 to 5 an amazing picture of this strength that the Lord gives to his people. We think of his people there in the middle of verse 3, that they are a flock. They are a sheep of God. There we read, for the Lord of hosts will visit his flock, the house of Judah, and make them as his royal horse in the battle. From him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together. They shall be like mighty men who tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be put to shame. This is an amazing transformation from this flock, this small little flock, to these mighty warriors. It would be like Shaun the Sheep on the telly. Shaun the Sheep being transformed into a mighty gladiator. That is the picture that we've got by the strengthening of the Lord. Now you might feel like, I'm going to say look like, you might feel like Shaun the sheep here this morning. But God is able to strengthen you to become a mighty gladiator, as it were, in the Lord. Now that's an encouragement, isn't it? As we face Mission Week and we face all the difficulties and problems that we go through, God is the one who can strengthen us. He is the source of our strength. As we go through the chapter, we must realize that all that God's people are blessed with comes ultimately from the Lord, and strength is just one of these things. It's amazing, isn't it, as we read this chapter and see everything that comes from the Lord. Verse 1, we see the provision that comes from the Lord, the provision of rain. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain, the Lord will make flashing clouds, etc. We look in verse 3, and we've seen that the Lord of hosts will visit his flock and thus give them strength. Verse 5, the Lord, well, they shall fight because the Lord is with them. Verse 6, I will strengthen the house of Judah, says the Lord. I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back. Because I have mercy on them, they shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Verse 8, I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. Verse 9, I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. Verse 10, I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon. And then verse 12, our text, I will strengthen them. It's all from the Lord. And so as we think about the source of our strength here this morning, it is from the Lord. This is according to his promise. And you know, my friends, this promise is not just found here in Zechariah 10 verse 12, but throughout the Bible. Let me bring you a few texts which will help you to understand this great promise of God for strength. Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 25, as Moses is blessing the people and he speaks to Asher and he says, your sandals shall be iron and bronze as your days, so shall your strength be. We turn over to Isaiah chapter 40, an incredible passage, looking at God's greatness and his glory, and the peoples of the earth are so small before him. But yet at the end, in verse 27 to 31, we read, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Apostle Paul too, in the New Testament, as he was afflicted by this thorn in the flesh, the word of God came to him in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. These are the promises of God. And as we were reminded on Wednesday in our Bible study, God's promises never fail. Absolutely. Not one of them fails. We might sooner see the sun turn green with purple spots on it than God fail to keep his promises. We would sooner see a desert coming upon Holcomb Hill than God failing to keep his promises. We would sooner see the invention of a time machine than God going back on his word. And even if these unlikely events came to pass, yet still, praise God, still, he would keep his word. He is true and faithful to all his promises, and all the people can cry, hallelujah, what a great God we have. So the Lord promises, I will strengthen them. I will strengthen them. So my friends, we can just sit back and wait for the strength to come. But assume the position and be zapped with the strength of God. Well, no. That isn't the way it happens, is it? For God wants us to ask for the strength. Our God wants us to pray for it. To humbly cry to him to fulfill his word. You see, there were two dangers that the Jews were facing, and there are two dangers that we face today. There was the danger of self-reliance as they were building the temple, as they were seeking to rebuild the nation. It would be easy to rest upon their own strength and their own abilities and their own gifts. Things are going on all right. We're getting there. And so we can just rest upon ourselves. But the Lord challenges them and challenges us in verse 1. As they're sowing the seeds, as they're seeing the crops grow, they are dependent upon the Lord for the rain. Verse 1. Ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. The Lord will make flashing clouds. He will give them showers of rain, grass in the field for everyone. Yes, God promises to give rain, but they've got to ask for it. And they can't do anything about bringing the rain into being. Our friends in the southeast of our country, and my mum and dad where they are in Dorset, the ground's rock hard. They can't do anything about getting rain. Strange, they want rain. Well, come up here, you can have rain. But they can't do anything about it, can they? Depends upon God for the rain. And so these Jews were. Depends upon the Lord for the rain. And here, as it flows through this passage, we must see that as we have the promise for strength, we must recognize our reliance upon God for that strength and to ask him. We must realize our own powerlessness and our weakness. And cry out to the Lord that he will give us what we need. We must deal with our own self-reliance. We think that we can do things in our own strength. But we, like the Jews, also face great temptations to go to other sources for strength. In verse 2 we read of this. For the idols speak delusion and diviners, envision lies, they tell false dreams, they comfort in vain. Therefore the people wend their way like sheep, they are in trouble because there is no shepherd. There are those who have gone to these false gods. They've gone into the spirit world, as it were, to try and find comfort and strength in their trouble. But because of that, they were just wandering like sheep, just going nowhere, not being fed, not being helped. And in great, great danger. But instead of that, they were to go to the Lord for strength. And we too, instead of going to the many things that are around us, which would say, you come to us for strength, you come to us for help, we must go to the Lord. Now, one of the major categories of books on Amazon is self-help books. There are loads of them out there, literally thousands, tens of thousands of self-help books. You come and read my book, you can get strength for daily living. You get strength to do this and that and the other, strength to be successful. No, we don't go to them, do we? There are many people who try and find strength in drugs or drink. Come to us, these things say. And you can find all that you need to get through life and the difficulties of life. We must not go to them either. We find in our day, Spiritism and Eastern religions, they say, you come to us. Find the wisdom that we have to have that inner strength to deal with life. We must not go to them either. None of these things are able to provide the strength that we need. Even if we look to ourselves, we cannot find the strength that we need to live life for the glory of God. That strength will soon run out. In our new home, there has been provided for us a feature in the garden of a little sort of fountain thing. It sort of sucks up water and it just goes through these cups and comes down. It's very nice, the sound of running water. Solar powered, so it only works when the sun's out, so it hasn't worked very often. But there it is, and it's filled up nicely in the bowl at the bottom. But if we take that bowl at the bottom and say, well, there is our source of water for our family, it's soon going to run out. It's not going to last. We need to go to a greater source of water. And so it is with our strength. If we go to these various things and various books and various philosophies and various religions, indeed ourselves, the strength will soon go. We need to go to the source of strength. We need to pray to the Lord for it. So the Lord is the source of our strength. But secondly, I want us to look at the strength of strength. How strong is the strength that God promises to supply? Is it just a little top-up in our lives? Just a little 5% extra to help us to get through? Is it like when we're carrying a big piece of furniture and a toddler comes and wants to help daddy carrying this bit of furniture? So yeah, you can help. And it's that tiny little bit of strength that a toddler gives to help us through. My friends, if we're honest, I think this is sometimes how we regard the Lord. That we go through life and through our ministries and most of the strength is in me. And most of it's mine, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Lord, give me a little bit extra to help me get through. I know I can't do it all, and theologically I know that I got to rely upon you, so give me that little bit to get through. Let's rid ourselves of such feeble thoughts of the strength that God provides. The strength that he gives us is indeed the very strength of Almighty God himself. He says these words, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they shall walk up and down in his name, says the Lord. So the Lord is speaking, and he says, I will strengthen them in the Lord. I will strengthen them in myself, in my very power. That is what we've got here. Not a little slither of strength, but the strength of Almighty God. And what power the Lord has manifested in this chapter. We're going to go quickly through and see the power that he reveals. The power to provide. We've already thought of the provision of rain. But just think about that. The enormity of the power that it takes to control the weather systems of the world, with all the interactions of pressure and humidity, of the winds and the ocean, of land masses, of temperature, terrain, etc., 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 God brings these all together to provide rain upon the earth. That is mighty power, the power of the God who created and sustains all things. We see in verse 3, God's power to punish the wicked. My anger, he says, is kindled against the shepherds, those who are leading the people astray. And I will punish the goat's herds. Human powers, we struggle to punish the wicked, don't we, in our day? It's difficult for the police in their terms of detection of crime. It is difficult to gather together all the evidence. It's difficult dealing with all the lawyers and the ins and outs. It's difficult as sentences are pronounced. We find it hard in our day to punish the wicked, and sadly, the wicked often get away with it. But in sovereign might, the Lord ensures that the wicked will be dealt with justly. That is his power to be able to do this. We've seen in verses 3 to 5 of God's power to enable his people to overcome their enemies. The foes of the Jews of this day were mighty, but the Lord was mightier. And the Lord could enable them and give them strength to overcome. The foes of mankind are powerful, but God gives strength to his people through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to overcome sin and death and hell, the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is his power that is at work. The Lord also has power to save his people. In verses 6 to 8. I will strengthen the house of Judah and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have mercy upon them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. The enormity of the problem of mankind's sin is beyond estimation. By man's strength, it cannot be resolved. Through all the religions of the world, through all the political powers of the world, sin cannot be dealt with. But by the power and love of God, it has been. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the price has been paid and been accepted. He has redeemed his own through the precious blood of Christ. Just think of the power that it took to do this. The power for God to be made flesh. The power of a perfect life, the power of a sacrificial death, the power of the resurrection, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in people's hearts and lives. That's power. It's the power of God. So we go on to see the power of God to draw in people from all nations in verses 9 to 10. That I will sow them among the peoples, and they shall remember me in far countries. They shall live together with their children, and they shall return. I will also bring them back from the land of Egypt and gather them from Assyria. I will bring them into the land of Gilead and Lebanon until no more room is found for them. They shall pass through the sea with affliction and strike the waves of the sea. All the depths of the river shall dry up. Then the pride of Assyria shall be brought down and the scepter of Egypt shall depart. God's power, bringing in sinners from all nations to himself to be part of his people. Power to send out the gospel. Power to convert unbelieving, godless and wicked people. This is the power of God. And he is able to do this. And it's this power, the power of the omnipotent, the almighty Lord of heaven and earth, that he promises you. It is that. Not convinced? Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 15 to 23. Here, the promise is emphasized through the prayer of the Apostle Paul. He loves God's people and he loves this church in Ephesus and he prays great things for them. In Ephesians 1 verse 15 we read, Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And here it is. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Believers, my Christian friends, here is a prayer that you might know the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us, which is indeed according to the power in which he raised Christ from the dead and enthroned him on high. It is resurrection power, enthronement power that God will give to you. That's not a little top up, is it? That is massive. And we need to pray that this power might be given to us. We were reminded of that in our series on prayer, weren't we? It comes through prayer, through humbly asking the Lord. Let us pray that we might find and know this massive power of God to strengthen our weak hearts and lives. But thirdly, well, we've seen the source of strength, the strength of strength. I want us to thirdly see the significance of strength. What is its significance for our lives? Well, it's enormous, isn't it? So I will strengthen them, verse 12, I will strengthen them in the Lord, and they, God's people, shall walk up and down in his name. Through the strength of the Lord, God's people will be enabled to walk with him, up and down. Most of us, though some of our legs might be getting older and struggle a bit more, we're able to walk up and down, aren't we? In the High Street in Ramsbottom, just freely walk up and down. And God is saying, through his strength, we can freely walk up and down in him. This echoes really of Micah chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk each in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God. But what does this mean practically in our lives? Well, there's two things really. Firstly, the strength of God will enable us to have an open profession of God. The strength of God will enable us to have an open profession of God. The walking up and down in him is a picture of no shame. That we are willing, in God's name, to walk out and to be known as his people. In Northern Ireland, I'm not sure it's this time of year, but there's a marching season, isn't there? And we have the Orange Men going out. And they walk up and down. They are not afraid to be known as Orange Men, as Protestants. They boldly declare it. No matter what people might do, what they throw at them, and the dangers there might be, yeah, they're willing. So now their colours to the mast. We are Orange Men. In a greater way, the strength of God enables us to openly profess the Christ who has saved us, will enable us to love and serve him freely, without shame, in this world. We've thought about this verse many times, particularly in our series on prayer and since. But in Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, where the disciples and the believers were harassed, and Peter and John have been told not to proclaim the message of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. So they got together, they prayed, and they asked for boldness to speak God's word. And then in verse 31, we read that when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They weren't afraid to openly profess Jesus Christ. God had given them strength to do this. And we too, if we pray, can be strengthened to identify with Jesus. We can be strengthened to identify with him in baptism. The command of the word of God is clear, that if you believe, you must be baptized. You must publicly identify yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you reticent to be baptized because of your weakness? Pray that God will give you strength to do this. We can be strengthened by God to identify with Jesus in the mission that's coming up. If you're like me, you feel your weakness in the role that you have to play. If you put your name on the back, or you're wondering whether to put your name on the back, you feel so small. What can I do? How can I help? How can I testify of Christ? Pray. And God will give you strength to do this, and to be known as a Christian, and to be known as a follower of the Lord Jesus, and be enabled to share in whatever way you can of his goodness and grace in your life. You might be in the workplace, and you might be just one of a few Christians, or no other Christians there. You might be mocked, you might be persecuted, you might be struggling with fears and doubts about whether you should openly confess Jesus Christ. Pray for strength to stand firm. And the Lord will enable you to declare your allegiance to Jesus, no matter what it costs you. Maybe in the neighborhood you fear showing yourself a Christian. You think people might laugh at you or might not like you. Pray for strength to show what you are, for God to help you to be a witness for him openly in this world. We need strength for an open profession of God, and here it is, the very strength of the Lord to help us to do this. But secondly, the strength of God practically in our lives will enable us to live a life consistent with our profession. They shall walk up and down in his name. It is one thing to be known as a believer, but another to live as one. To display the life of Christ in us. For to walk in God, to walk in the Lord, is to display a life which reflects his beauty and his glory and his loveliness. And there are many, many, many temptations and lures and snares that we face to deflect us from walking with God. Yes, they've been placed there devously by the world, the flesh and the devil. That we must be like the world in its outlook and desires and lifestyle. That our lives should be governed by material things and by money, etc. That we should engage like the world engages it in deceitful ways. That we should be self-seeking and proud in the way that we act. There are many temptations to these things and many other things. We need to pray for strength to live a life consistent with a profession that we make. There are many discouragements in life whereby the evil one will tempt us to stop walking with God. He will tempt us and say, well, you can't cope with the stresses and the strains. Well, the first thing to go is God. Get him out of the way and you'll be okay. He will tempt you to think that God doesn't care about you. Really doesn't consider you. Look at your life. Does God love you? He will tempt you to see the hurts that others cause you, whether believers or not, and say, well, I don't want anything to do with the Lord anymore. Pray for strength. Strength to overcome these temptations and these discouragements of life, that you might live a life that is consistent with a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need much strength for that. But much strength is promised according to God's word. Do you know the Apostle Paul, he could testify of the efficacy of God's strength in his life. He's talking to the Philippians believers, isn't it? Just to be content, whether we got lots or little. And as he reflects upon that, he says in verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it in the power of God. So as we conclude, are you feeling weak? Do you need strength? Ask God. Pray to the Lord. Prove his promise to be true, that he will give you all the strength that you need. Amen.